give me a lab test to come and lab. So anyway, when I entered to the lab center, they said they were on strike, and I don't know what to do with.
Well, if you visited any government facility today seeking laboratory services and was turned away, it is because the Medical Laboratory Professional Workers Union are on strike and have refused to back down onto their demand for better conditions of service. Amen.
In fact, many patients with emergency cases at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital were left stranded today as the strike enters a third day, paralyzing healthcare delivery in public hospitals across the country in the process. The union is unhappy about government's slow pace in negotiating conditions of service for its members and has vowed to keep the labs shut until a solution is found. Joy News team of reporters have been monitoring the situation in the hospitals across the country. Let's start from the capital, Accra, where head of our health desk, Fred Smith, Kenneth Jesse, and Semifakbesu told the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, the Greater Accra Regional Hospital, which we call the Ridge Hospital, and the University of Ghana Medical Center. Here's their report.
Impact of the strike is so visible, even to the blind, as patients are unable to access laboratory services. The strike has had a particularly severe impact on Ghana's largest reference facility, the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, leaving many patients, including pregnant women, children with cancer, and those requiring urgent blood transfusions, stranded and without care. The maternity area of the hospital is crowded with expectant mothers anxiously awaiting assistance.
I'm appealing to the authority, those that are in charge, to help them solve their issue so that we can also be happy. Because in my condition, all the way from La Paz, New Market to this place, I'm pregnant and I'm tired. The walking, sitting in the car, the movement here and there is very difficult to reach here.
I'm here to see the doctor, and she gave me some love for me to bring them to her. Okay. And when I get to the laboratory, it has been closed. It's about my health. They said my sugar level was too high, so they gave me a lab test to run. I have to go to the private lab to do that. But for them, I'm very, very tired, so I'm having some rest. So later in the day, I'll go and do them.
Suddenly, give me a lab test to come and lab. So anyway, when I entered to the lab center, they said they were on strike. And I don't know what to do with it. I don't know, I should go outside with the privacy or what, I don't know.
The children's unit, usually bustling with activity, is now deserted as children with cancer and sickle cell disease are turned away. The central laboratory, which functions as a crucial reference center for the entire Greater Accra region and beyond, is also non-operational.
All right, so this is the resource collection section of the central laboratory service. All night that you come in, the whole place is choked with patients coming for their result that they've come to run previous days. So because of the strike, you can see nobody's here. For this place is peculiar because this is the central point, but a lot of the people come here direct, the OPD service, people from outside Kolebu, they come to central lab to run the test. So this place is normally busy. It's a referral center for Accra and outside Accra. So for now, we can't tell. We don't know what the government has in hand for us, but if it comes with something substantial, we are human beings, our patients, our relatives also get sick. So if we come with something substantial, then we can call it off. But until then, it can't be lip service.
Are you not worried that a lot of the persons who need your service are not getting and therefore unable to access medical services in the hospital or may have to pay more to access the same service that they could have paid something special?
For that one, we are deeply worried because as I stand here today, tomorrow I can be a patient in Kolebu and there's no exclusion for me. I have to go through the system. But because we recognize that we are essential service providers, we send the notice on the 4th of this month to all those who matter in this matter. And they refuse to respond. They have not considered us as essential service providers. That is why this strike came up, because we sent the notice from the 4th of June. The Minister of Labor and Labor received it, the Minister of Health has received it. But they've done nothing about it. So even though they are paying more, there's nothing we can do.
The Public Health Reference Laboratory, responsible for investigating disease outbreaks of major national concern, has shut its doors, potentially delaying critical public health responses. The situation is equally dire at the Greater Accra Regional Hospital, where laboratories have closed, marked by red bands signaling the strike. patients in need of lab investigations, including those with emergency cases, are being turned away, while some are forced to seek expensive services at private labs, which charge approximately 3 times the usual cost. Many with non-urgent conditions are postponing or abandoning their treatments altogether. At the University of Ghana Medical Center, the main laboratories have ceased operations, leaving only a small mini lab functional. This mini lab, primarily intended for patients already in recovery, is now inundated with new cases as stranded patients flock to it for assistance.
I was here around 6:30 exactly. I went to Cadro and then they sent me to the lab, the other one, and the main lab. They said they are on strike. So it took me about 3 hours to wait for to get another lab here, which is different lab for the main lab itself. So I came and I'm waiting for the lab technician to come and attend to me. They are working all right. I think the main lab also, they are faster than here as well. I don't know whether because of the strike, that's why here it's become slow or it's not fast like the other side. I think they are working.
The increased demand is placing tremendous pressure on the limited resources available, straining the facility's ability to provide adequate care.
I want to take you to the Ashanti Regional Capital now, where Clinton Yeboah has been interacting with patients also left stranded at the Konfanoti Teaching Hospital and the Menshia Government Hospital.
Offices offering laboratory services at the Menshia Government Hospital in Kumasi have been closed with red banners and the inscription, strike notice. Patients and their relatives are visibly distressed as they are hardest hit by the strike. This 81-year-old lady, whose daughter is undergoing a post-delivery treatment, is stranded in accessing lab services.
My child is dying. I am begging you, Government of Ghana. I am old. Where am I going to get money to access private facility?
The situation is the same at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital, as OPD attendees are directed to private labs, but the patients complain of the high cost of accessing private lab services.
The cost outside is expensive. They took 670 cedis, which ordinarily I wouldn't pay if I had the lab service here.
The strike has rendered other departments such as the disease control unit, maternal wards, and blood banks passive. The Ministry of Health has appealed to the striking lab workers to call off their strike and return to the negotiation table. The Ashanti Regional Chairman of the Ghana Association of Medical Laboratory Scientists, Dr. Eric Kofi Edu.
You see, the medical lab scientists have been ignored for a very long time. The medical lab scientists play a very pivotal role in the healthcare delivery system. But you see, things have gone too way back, and we feel that 2 years since we started doing this. So, I mean, the minister and the labor commission should have intervened for us to, I mean, agreed on things and not get here. And we wish that things are not going this way. And we feel for the people that we render services to, but it's unfortunate. So we feel that we can still handle things as early as possible if the government intervene and then call us to the table.
Well, the situation is no different in the central region, according to monitoring of the situation by correspondent Eric Asante following his visit to the Winneba Trauma and Specialist Center. The union has since refused to back down until their demands are met. They accuse of fair wages and salaries commission of unfair treatment. We know that the fair wages issued a statement accusing the laboratory professionals of breaching the negotiation process. But thankfully, we can bring in the general secretary of the union, Sefase Kofi Akoto, joining us on the line. It's been 3 days into this particular action. We are grateful for your time here on Newsnight. Really, have we heard from the Fair Wages, Ministry of Health, all those who matter when it comes to this, listening to the impact that your strike is having on patients?
That this very moment is the most difficult in my life as a leader and as a citizen of this country. It appears people are more interested in how the public will look at them rather than doing what is expected of them. We serve notice from 3rd of June that our members are threatening to embark on strike. We've received letters from all the regional branches and chapters, notified the employer and the labor commission. Unfortunately, till now, the duty bearers, particularly Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, which is the government's negotiator, has failed to even acknowledge receipt of the letter. It's just this afternoon that Joy News brought to my attention a letter they wrote to the National Labor Commission and the Ministry of Finance and other ministries. I feel that Fair Wages should not be behaving the way they are doing. They are dragging feet and deliberately delaying the negotiation process. I think that in Ghana, we should be serious with our work. Seriously speaking, look at the story you've just captured. The number of people who are crying out there. Just because someone in his office has failed to bring us to dialogue. They are shouting in the media that we should go back to negotiation table. We are also asking them that, let us engage. But yet, they are not availing themselves. As a union, we even wrote, arranged for a venue, paid for it, requested the employer to come for us to negotiate. They failed to show up. So if they say we should come and negotiate, are we refusing to negotiate? Have they ever invited us and we have never showed up? Up to now, Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, for the span of this strike, from Monday till now, has never even placed a call that, come and let's dialogue. Nothing like that. The employer, which is the Ministry of Health, has also not done that. But they care more about the kind of story they'll put into the media space to deceive the public. I think that we should go beyond this because we are playing with people's lives here. Me, as a leader, I find myself in a very difficult situation. When you turn to your membership, they say that you have gone to take bribe. When you go to the employer, who is to sit down and negotiate with you so you can have something very tangible to share with your membership? They are also saying you are giving them too much pressure. And you, as a leader, you don't know where to go. So what do we do in this situation? We are trying our best for us to contain the situation. Let's meet and dialogue. Let's negotiate. We know this is negotiation. The union has not taken entrenched position that at all costs, everything they have requested, they should be granted. That is not the case.
And I was coming to Mr. Akoto. Really, what is it that you seek that has not been given, and how long have you been at it?
Simply, let me just go straight. We are medical lab scientists. We take people's blood samples that contain all the diseases you can think of, including HIV, hepatitis B, all the diseases that we think of, even COVID. We handle all these things in the space where we work. When you go to the laboratory, we don't even have any office. You sit in that area, and that's where you do everything throughout your life. Our health and safety is compromised. So, and the stress level of the work require that there should be regular care so that we, the workers, can also be safe. We requested for health care for medical lab scientists. Up to now, the employer feels that, no, it's too much they cannot do. Meanwhile, we have national health insurance. And we are saying that disease conditions that insurance does not cover, we work as health care workers. So the employer should support us so that when we are sick, at least our health can be catered for. This is not money. The the condition of service we are talking about simply has to do with our promotion. If I am due for promotion, how many years am I supposed to work? If I'm found in a deprived area, is there any privileges for me? And for how long must I be on the bench before going to school? Because management at the facility level is treating our membership with discretion. You are due for school. When you apply, they don't grant you. You'll be in the same facility for 15 years. Someone will come and say 1-2 years. He applies for study leave. They will grant him. But you can be in that facility for 20 years and request for study leave. They will still tell you there is no vacancy. All because you don't have a condition of service. If you are entitled for leave, we are human beings. We also break down. We get tired when we are working. So in every year, every worker is entitled to annual leave. When it's time for you to go for your annual leave, the number of days you should be granted is sometimes left to the discretion of facility managers, simply because there's no harmonized document to guide the number of days you should be granted per your qualification.
Okay.
So the treatment is different when you go to different facilities. We think that there should be harmonization so that people will stop moving from one facility to another. Because if you are treated equally and the same way, it means that even a village somewhere can still have a qualified person who will serve them and will enjoy the same opportunities or privileges available to those in the bigger facilities.
Well, so but listening, Mr. Akoto, I can understand your pain and the concerns that you've raised, but listening to the impact that this action is having on the larger society, there's nothing we can do about it?
There's something we can do about it. Negotiation is the way forward. The person or the authority clothed with that power to negotiate is the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. What are they waiting for? We are essential service workers. Within 72 hours, when we have grievances, that grievance should be attended to and resolved. We've been at Labour Commission for the past 6 weeks, all about how to continue with negotiation. When you go, they listen to your story and tell you, okay, we adjourn, go and come another day. They'll give you 2 weeks, another 1 week, you go and come. Members are frustrated. We are scientists. We want to be stable in our mind so that when we are testing, we can give you accurate results. If I'm troubled, I have financial issues worrying me, and I'm still thinking about the stress going on, do you think I'll be stable to give diagnosis accurately? It will affect my work. So for us, we think that negotiation is the way forward. And the authority or the institution clothed with that power to negotiate is the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Fair Wages and Salaries Commission told us at Labour Commission that they need financial mandate to negotiate. And that mandate comes from the Ministry of Finance. What is delaying the Ministry of Finance from giving the mandate to Fair Wages?
Well, that's Cephas Kofi Akoto there. He's the General Secretary of the Lab Scientists there. They are on strike. It's 3 days already, and we're yet to hear from the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. We are yet to hear from the Ministry of Health, as well as from the National Labour Commission. We've been trying to reach them on this.
And you're so live here on News Night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. And tonight, MFA, there is a significant crack on the front of organised labour, as we're hearing tonight from the Ghana Federation of Labour. They're accusing the leadership of the Trades Union Congress of complicity in the proposed sale of SNIT's 60% stake in four top hotels to our Greek minister, Brian Champon's company. Now, key leaders of TUC were conspicuously missing during yesterday's hands-off our hotels demo by organised labour and minority to pressure government to halt the deal. Now, on PM Express last night, the Secretary General of the Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsin, says the leadership of TUC, they've shown that they are not working in the interest of workers and must revoke the appointments they have on the SNIT board.
I didn't see any of the elected officer. I'm very serious. This issue is not for a staff. If they give her mandate, what mandate? Who gave her that mandate? Who gave her mandate? What are they?
So you were expecting the senior elected members of the TUC represented to the other protests?
Exactly. They are really serious with this matter. Because why? You have been elected by workers to represent their interests. There are serious issues with the problems that we have to deal with. You have been elected by workers to represent them, serve their interests, and there are problems. And then you relegate your authority or power to a staff. I'm not saying that is competent, it's okay. But when it comes to dealing with mandate of elected officers, I mean, why do they do that? It's an insult. They are insulting everybody that don't mind them. This issue is not about just normal grievance that, we can easily deal with it. This is not. This is a major problem that, the TUC leadership shouldn't have done what they did. See, they went to ILO. They have all come back. ILO, they have come back. At least one deputy or even a national union, one of their board members. The board members can be a union, national union chairman or general secretary. That would have been good for us, but the way they are behaving, I'm not too happy about it.
And you've taken the position already that this meeting with the president, you personally, you will not be attending. You're boycotting that meeting.
I will not go. I will not go. Because the TUC, I suspect them. What are they doing?
Okay.
It's not right.
So your suspicion, your suspicion is it's in relations with the TUC. So your suspicion is about the TUC.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Because the four people who are in seven on the board, how they were chosen, we don't know. We have raised issues. We have raised concerns. We don't do that. This search selection, you make sure that you do diligence. You make sure the integrity and the competence of people that you are selecting are taken into account. You don't send anybody there.
Yeah, okay. Mr. Kum Singh, you want the, again, and you'll tell them when you meet them, and I presuppose that this is something that happens quite regularly, yourselves meeting organized labor, you should be represented there. So you suspect that what they themselves are somehow in on this whole transaction?
I suspect the leadership, not the TUC.
The leadership. You suspect them? You suspect them of what? Of what exactly?
No, complicity in this whole thing that we are all talking about. This sale of snitch
shares in the hotels.
The discussions we are told that when we met the Minister of Employment. Yeah. This discussion started way back, I think 2018 or something.
Yes.
You see, so even the minister was even blaming our.
Well, that's Ibrahim Kum Singh on PM Express. There was a lot of reaction. That whole interview, you want to catch it on our social media platforms, is on the back of yesterday's demonstration led by North Tongue MP Samuel Okudjetua Blakwa to demand the cancellation of that sale. And he says he's filed an urgent question to summon the AGRIC as well as the Employment and Labour Relations Ministers to answer questions on the sale of SNIT's assets to Rock City Hotel Limited.
We are not going to rest on our oars, you know, look the other way, be compromised, and then be presented with a fait accompli when we know that this deal is not in the national.
Parliament is back. I know you've also suggested that you want to take an action in Parliament. Why are you with that?
Yes. So those questions have been filed. I'm seeking to summon the Employment Minister and the Minister on various aspects of this transaction. Those questions have been filed. The notice to the Speaker about the breach of these constitutional provisions have also gone. But we must get the president to call his appointees to order. That really, and you heard organized labor, Ibrahim Kum Singh has been very clear. These are all his appointees. And you see, why should this be difficult for President Akufo-Addo, who told us that those who want to come into his government to engage in such conflict of interest, to use their positions for transactions of this nature, for business and all of that, should better off stay in the private sector. Don't come for my positions and use it for, you know, profit making. Stay in the private sector, that's where money is made. I mean, does the president mean what he says? And does he say what he means?
Well, Rock City is a company that won that bid, belongs to the AGRIC Minister Brian Champon. Has it been making losses? Well, the North Tongue MP insists the company has made losses under its 2023 financial year.
The filings to GRA, the whole year, 2023, they made losses. So they didn't pay any taxes, you know. That is the returns that they submitted to the GRA. So how can a loss-making hotel, a loss-making entity, suddenly, you know, have such hotel managerial prowess, skills unknown to those who are running Labadi, running Ridge Royal, running Elmina, running La Palm?
You know, not all four hotels are profit-making. The La Palm Royal, for example, has been struggling for quite a while, and they are in quite some significant pickle there. So obviously, you have to make a fair assessment of that too in your evaluation. Mm-hmm. Labadi Beach Hotel is the crown and the jewel, but there are others that aren't on the same level.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are others in the same level as Rock City. So Labadi, Ridge Royal, pretty much, you know, safe investments, doing very well. Even La Palm and Elmina, they were doing very well until recently, which tells you that it's a management issue. And you see, the story of Labadi is what we should just replicate for La Palm and Elmina.
Well, we've been hearing from the AGRIC Minister, Brian Echampo. He's challenging Okudjetua Blakwa to provide evidence to back claims the company is making losses.
Roy City has about 1,000 rooms now. Can hotels award my body now? Can the number of rooms or more? You are not even close to Roy City.
I see you are not paying taxes.
But I'm saying that Roy City, I'm going to come to that. Oh. Roy City is building over 3,000 rooms today, there. What are you talking about? We are not paying taxes. This is a company that is paying VAT and paye taxes almost about $100,000, equivalent to $100,000 almost every month. What are you talking about? They don't pay taxes. Check from GRE, check from SNIT. Put all the Rock City hotels in Ghana, Akosombo, in Kumasi, in Kumasi, in Accra, in Takoradi, and check whether they are not paying taxes. You see, the lies, I don't have any problem in doing this politics. Oh, yeah, the politics in my family. Minkasa, I'm not going to go near the kinds of lies that he tells. But to be categorical on TV as an ordinary man and put it in a way, no, sometimes it's quite annoying. And
still about he's making about 158 million. Gains. That you're not making anything.
But I'm saying that Rock City is expanding to be the biggest hotel in Africa. In all the 16 regions, 54 markets in Ghana, and hopefully take the brand international. He cannot bring it down. If that is all the matter is all about. What Rock City is seeking to do, he cannot stop it.
You think he's trying to do that?
But I mean, that's his problem. It's a problem of hate. And separate Brian Echampo from the company Rock City. Miwa Rock City, because third year's here. Ube Timindi Rock City, Akokot, and Neon Fabra and Echampo and Kokot. So separate. But even if for political convenience, you want to bring it together, speak the truth. Speak the truth. The BN, I'm saying, I'm daring him a name. And Yemano Kai is a Rock City Boka. Mechene die wo Trasaku, Mechene Akosombo in Intercontinental Hotel and Air Rock City. Me de beka onfa, on mekan ukre, prove it to Ghanaians. His lies and lies, who could tell you truth war, on hang on a ni kan sem chantro. Nukre bie ni bose mu kan kwa.
Well, MFA, we're also today hearing from one of the four hospitals up for sale. And this
hotels.
Is a, one of the, yeah, I mean, the one that we're talking about, laboratory scientists.
Yes,
I'm picking hospitals. Hotels up for sale. And this is a La Palme Royal Beach. And the managing director there at the La Palme Royal Hotel, the Kojo Ganza, has been telling my colleague, George Yafe, that it is putting in place strategic measures to turn around the fortunes of that particular hotel.
Done a lot of renovations over the last 6 months or so, trying to change the face of the hotel itself. But we're also taking this opportunity to come to events like this to make people know and let people know that we do exist, we're still there, and we're definitely a contender to be out there for people to choose to come and stay with us, yes.
Any turnaround strategies being implemented that you think that will position the hotel at the top there?
Well, so part of what I've even been doing is obviously offering certain rates that we would probably not offer any other clients. So this is some of the strategies that we're making with this part of the world so that we can encourage and entice people to come and stay with us. So I can assure you, we're new La Palme, so we're definitely as contenders to be in the industry right now.
Well, and there's a meeting with the president next week, organized labor meeting the president on this particular subject. Already, as you've just noticed, as we've been telling you, there is a significant crack on the front of organized labor, as the Federation of Labor has said they will not attend, and then accusing TUC of complicity. I want to bring in labor consultant Austin Gamme into the conversation now. Joins us on the phone. Mr. Gamme, thank you for your time here on Newsnight. This is a significant issue for TUC and organized labor, considering what we're now seeing, the break on this front. What's your own intervention as to how they get to unite their front again as they approach the meeting with the president next week?
Thank you, Evans. I think that organized labor is a very credible body made up of various unions. The concerns being raised by Mr. Abraham Kunsen may be legitimate, but normally organized labor never really get distracted when they are to come together to meet president or any other body in respect of significant matters of national interest of such proportion. And so I think that they will be ready for that meeting when the time is due.
This accusation about complicity, how seriously should TUC self take it?
It might not be exactly that way. The point is that I happen to be part of the commission that wrote the pension scheme and representing NAT on that commission. And so if I am speaking, I'm speaking from a known point of view, because it didn't take us 7 days to write it. It took us many years during President Kufuor's reign. And so the intent behind pension and the way pension is being managed it leaves much to be desired. That, to be very honest with you, should be of great concern to any working person and any person who is on pension.
Yeah, I mean, talking and about that, Joel, I mean, the fundamental demand by Ram Kumsing is that the reps on the SNIT board for organized labor must all be withdrawn. You agree with that?
Well, it's up to organized labor. Normally, they go on rotation, sort of. And I have suggested to organized labor many times, number of times, that look, you don't need to send necessarily a general secretary. You don't need to send, I don't work for NAT, but NAT choose that I should represent them on the commission. So organized labor can always look for somebody who has some knowledge and understanding about pension and investment issues and so forth and so on, representing the interest of the working people, because it's about their socioeconomic interest to be protected. So that is the situation, and it's up to them to ensure that. That is, and then we contributors of SNIT, who are the shareholders, must demand it. They are not. I don't think they'll be against that. We must demand it, and demand that we have a certain caliber of people, and also the number of people who should be represented on the board. That, I'm sure, it might be the concern of Abraham Kunsin. He has to articulate it properly.
Okay, thank you very much. That is Austin Game. He is the Labour consultant. So listen to News 90s on Joy 99.7 FM. And it's not time for business. And we can bring you the thoughts of Mr. Shen as far as the latest business news is concerned. What do you have in the headlines?
Hi, everyone. Coming up in business tonight, Ghana Union of Traders Association renew calls to kick out foreigners operating in the retail sector, warning Asian traders have taken over the market, and the Bank of Ghana advised to go after some fintechs not reporting remittances to help support the exchange rate regime. We'll hear from banking consultant Dr. Richmond Etienne. In business news on Newsnight, as brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business, Kingdom Books and Stationery, Syntex Tanks, and Pepsodent Charcoal and Herbal.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Oma.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Oma.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Kweku, have you heard what they are doing on MTN?
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom. And my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years' experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery, and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumasi KNUSD Campus, UC. KP Coast and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209 or 762792. Visit our website www.kingdomgh.com.
Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex Tank, all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex Tank. A strong, a tough. Water is needed all day, all night. So, remember Syntex Tank, all day, all night. 7 years warranty. Select any color for free. In no de crack, in no de spoil. Call Accra on 0244-335-168. Kumasi 0505-555-666. Syntex Tank, a strong, a tough.
Yeah. We have a new leader in town, Obiarentie. Amafo, madam was sibibri. When you say my baby, mamu more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mamu lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey, yeah, 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 yeah.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
Hello, my name is Mami Akia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Welcome back to Business on News Tonight with me, James Ishan. Let's settle for the details. First off, the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, is calling on authorities to be bold and clamp down on foreigners operating in the retail space. According to its president, Joseph Obin, foreigners are flooding Ghana's retail space with subsidized goods from overseas. This, Mr. Obin believes, is gradually pushing Ghanaian traders and manufacturers out of business as it negatively impacts on the local currency. He spoke at the customs controls and regulations for organized by the Ghana Investment Promotion Center.
So we have the China Mall, Chinatown, who have taken over 40% of our market and who are derailing the efforts of local manufacturers. And we do not have the courage to clamp on them. They don't bring the corresponding forest for trading. All that they do is to have their subsidized goods being dumped in Ghana, and then they go to the black market, change the money, change the forest to destroy our economy. Sometimes you have to be bold. Shouldn't be that we gear all these efforts to the local trader. It is unfair. The import that we do into this country, the local trader's component is only 20%. The bulk of it is being brought by this China Mall, Chinatown, and other foreign traders.
Dr. Joseph Obin is the president of GUTA. Now, banking consultant Dr. Richmond Itiaine has alleged that some fintech firms are not accounting for the inflow of remittances into the country. Is that such act is affecting Ghana's exchange rate regime? Dr. Itiaine, who was speaking on the AM show on the Joy News channel, called for a review at the Foreign Exchange Act to prevent such underreporting.
The banks are reporting genuinely according to the Foreign Exchange Act. And then we get the fintech who has just been licensed since 2019, who are not actually accounting for these foreign exchange. So my question is that to avoid these discrepancies and reporting, misreporting, I think a time has come for us to look at the Foreign Exchange Act and make sure that everybody reports. What we can do, what we used to do earlier, when we have the Western Union, when we have the MoneyGram, when we have the Royal MoneyGram, what they do is that there is an arrangement to pay commission for them to collate all these data and bring the money to the banking system.
Dr. Richmond Etienne is a banking consultant. Now, the Ghana Multidimensional Poverty Report has shown that employment and living conditions are the largest contributors to multidimensional poverty across various regions, accounting for 47.8% to 15.5% respectively. Winston Taki has more in the following report.
The Ghana Multidimensional Poverty Report reveals that 7.3 million individuals are classified as multidimensionally poor. However, Deputy Minister for Local Government, Decentralization and Rural Development, Vincent Eko Asafua, notes that this figure is lower than in 2020.
As a result of pragmatic policies and interventions, the 2021 population and housing census data indicates that our multidimensional poverty is hovering around 24.3%. This clearly demonstrates that the interventions rolled out are making an impact and the incidence of poverty is also reducing.
Director of Social Statistics at the Statistical Service, Omar Saidu, identifies the primary cause of poverty.
So 4 out of 10 households where the head of household has no education, then that household is likely to be multidimensionally poor. There are 59% of the population in the Savannah region who are multidimensionally poor. But in terms of the actual number of people involved, it's less than that of Ashanti region.
Additionally, the report shows that poverty incidence is higher among female at 27% compared to 23% in male-headed households. Winston Taki for Joy Business.
Now, the impact of COVID-19 on economies can be curtailed with the reliance on digital skills and hybrid learning processes. To this end, Ghana is the latest country to receive the globally renowned Bothell University, which is providing quality entrepreneur skills and digital tools for tertiary learning. Deputy Vice Chancellor for Bothell University West Africa, Professor Abhishek Rajan, explains to journalists during the official opening of the school in Accra.
What makes Bothell unique is it's a very technical-oriented, highly focused, student-centered learning, student exchange program, virtual internship. These are the kind of keywords that we work with. And we work with these words because that's the need of the hour. We have learned from this COVID pandemic that, you know, just being in the place and coming to the school is not enough. You have to learn how to deal with the risk that comes with many other activities. So one of the major factor of what is the major impact of this COVID has been to teach people how to integrate the new requirement, which is the digital embedding of digital activities within every aspect of the process. So that's what, you know, Bothell brings by making sure that you not just tell people what to do, but show them how to do it.
Professor Abhishek Ranjan is the Deputy Pro Vice Chancellor for Bothell University West Africa. And that's all for Business on Newsnight with me, James. Let's hand over to Evans.
Thank you, James. And Ms. Bala Mohammed is here with the.
Yeah, well, there's four Evans there. Well, Evans, you added another name to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Kumasi Asante Kotoko in the news. They have announced the departure of 7 players following the mutual termination of their contract. Now, this comes a day after the Porcupine Warriors had released 11 players, including Captain Dalad Ibrahim, Samuel Asamoah, Nana Bin Amwa, Isahaku Fuseni, and Rocky Jamina. All agreed to part ways with the Ghanaian Giants after the just-ended campaign. Also leaving the club are Richmond Opoku, Julius Ofori, and Ziggy Shadrack Ado. Former Ghana Premier League champions are undertaking a massive clean-out with 18 players leaving the club following a torrid campaign last season. Head coach of the side, Prosper Nato Ogum, has been speaking on the way forward for the club.
In terms of player recruitment, in terms of player performance, in terms of player discipline, we need to look at all these things, which, of course, we have already done. We've had a series of meetings on this. We need to do a lot of structural changes in the playing body with respect to signing of some players to come to augment. This time, not players from lower divisions, but players who have seen it in the Premier League. These are basically some of the things that we need to also do. We need to actually go out there as early as possible to make sure that the signings that we want or the players that we want, we are able to get them as quickly as possible.
That's Prosper Nato Ogum there. So wait to see how Kumasiya Santi Kotoko will fare come next season. But even the Euros is still on, and two games already been played. One remaining first, it was Croatia, who, you know, a win was stolen from them. Albania just managed to get a draw, and the dynamics of that game on Ongo ensured that the game ended 2-2. And of course, host nation Germany continued their outstanding performance, defeating Hungary by 2 goals to nil. Later at 7, it's Scotland versus Switzerland, and tomorrow will be Spain versus Italy. Big game, live commentary on Joe 99.7 FM.
Thank you very much, Bao Razak, for that. And that's the latest from the world of sports. Now, Ghana showbiz industry players are tonight disappointed in the Supreme Court ruling that bars well-known personalities and professionals from endorsing or appearing in commercials that promote alcoholic beverages in a bid to prevent alcoholism and safeguard the youth. And the Supreme Court ruling brought to an end a highly publicized 19-month legal battle that had the support of popular personalities in the showbiz industry. Now, Wednesday's ruling by the Supreme Court effectively means that well-known personalities and professionals are perpetually barred from appearing in advertisements that promote alcoholic drinks. Now, delivering an abridged version of the ruling at the Supreme Court today, the Chief Justice, Justice Gertrude Torkornoo, said the FDA directive does not contravene the Constitution. We can hear from George Quay. As you know, him is a major industry player who has been a key voice in the campaign.
Really, here's a fight that the FDA is losing already. Because if I attend an event and it's being sponsored by an, what did you win? If I sit on radio and I read an LPM, what did you do? You understand? And then they would say, you cannot put an alcoholic beverage billboard within 200 meters of a school. When I'm taking my kids to school, do we fly? Do we fly from my house to that school? Do you know the number of alcoholic beverage billboards that I'll see on the road? When we stop in traffic, do I know what my kids are reading? So did you win or lose? It's in the newspapers. My kids will read newspapers. So really, what did you gain? I think the FDA really need to, you know, I think they're in some kind of a box. It would be good if they came out. Let us sit, let us jaw, and let us find a common ground. Because at the end of the day, they aren't the only ones who have kids. We have kids too, and we'd like to protect those kids as well.
We can hear also from the Director of Legal and Corporate Affairs, Joseph Binney, of the FDA.
In the space of Ghana.
The FDA is operating in Ghana.
Yes, but we are dealing with it. It's not all, once in a while, one of it filters through. But we are dealing with that. And very soon we'll have a clarity on that. With this very decision backing us, we'll very soon have a bit of clarity on that, because some DSC, they claim that it is not coming from Ghana. But we know when we watch the World Cup, they never advertise.
To what limit?
So that is what will happen in Ghana as well. No matter where you are operating from, once you are airing within the space of Ghana, you cannot advertise alcohol using a celebrity or a well-known personality.
And this ruling continues to generate a lot of talk on social media. Now, the Energy Ministry insists there's been no load shedding this year as he appears before Parliament under the certificate of an urgent question. Well, despite the rampant unannounced erratic power supply in March that forced many homes and businesses to endure significant hardship, with some even laying off workers due to increased downtime, the ministry maintains a stance. At the time, the Electricity Company of Ghana attributed the power outages to the overloading of some 630 distribution transformers across its operational areas, which were identified to be at full capacity due to increased power demand. However, a subsequent report by the Public Utilities Regulatory Commission, PURC, refuted these claims. Responding to a question filed in March by MP for Tamale North, Alhassan Suhini, Energy Minister Dr. Matthew Pukuprempe insisted that the country has no experience load shedding this year.
To answer this question, I then questioned three times on this floor, and three times I've been here, and three times the questioner had not been available, or Parliament had not been able to allow me to answer the question. So the question, Mr. Speaker, has to be seen in the context that it is over 2 months ago, a question as an urgent question. We are pleased to provide the following response to the urgent question. No, ECG is not undertaking load shedding as at the time the question was asked. Mr. Speaker, consumers were experiencing outages due to a number of factors. That included localized outages due to overload on lines and transformers. So, Speaker, Sempower, Mr. Speaker, at the time the questioner put the question, Sempower had an emergency valve leak, which meant a complete shutdown, losing immediately 340 megawatts. That also contributed. And then, last but not the least, plant maintenance on Amandi Power Plant was also ongoing at the same time.
But a few years ago, Alassane Souyini wasn't satisfied with the answers from the energy minister, asked him about the current electricity supply situation as well.
Mr. Speaker, I want to find out from the minister if he is aware that the same explanations that he offered in his answer today were offered the PURC by the ECG. And the PURC, based on the data that was provided, came to the conclusion that out of about 4,141 outages within that period, only about 33.6% of those outages were attributable to the reasons that he gave.
Well, some more dissatisfied members of the minority caucus also took on the energy minister, but he insists he will not respond to their questions because it was not in the original question filed by Alassane Souyini.
Like I said, I'm under your care. The questioner is seriously attempting to drag me to issues that are not around the question that I'll be asked. And I shouldn't even want to offer an answer. Mr. Speaker, I want to put on record again that as an honourable member of the House, you must be aware that PURC is not an agency under the Ministry of Energy. When I appeared at the table, I did say that in the context of this particular question, it is 2 months, and I've been here 3 times to answer the question. So, Speaker, at this same table, I've asked that if a question is being sought, an urgent question is being sought, not via our standing rules of this question, but outside our standing orders, I'm still available to come and answer the question. I can say on record that there has not been any load management in the last 1 week. I can say on record. But that is not the way this house works.
And that's the Energy Minister, Dr. Matthew Opoku-Prempe, on the floor of Parliament earlier, ending today's edition of Newsnight here on Joy 99.7 FM. There's more when you log on to myjoyonline.com. The strong and the sassy Inimwa Inimado is here.
What it's are we been talking a minute.
About? Yeah, more than a minute.
They said leave is no pension. So it's welcome back. missed you. I was glad to hear your voice, I think, on Monday.
What are we talking about tonight?
So, you know, this month we've been talking about men and their mental health and how we contribute to it. Yeah. So we're discussing what their biggest fears are. Mm. And the men have sent a warning that we shouldn't have their conversation for them.
So they'll be coming?
So they'll have their own conversation. So the phone lines will be open. Oh. They've been sending in their messages already. So today's show is very interactive.
Microphones over to the men.
Yes, please. But we're asking the question. So the men, what are your biggest fears? And I mean, really, as the women in your lives, how do we, you know, help to make it better?
Okay. We want to stay for that with Inimwa Inimado. I am MFA Paul. I've been doing this with Evans Mensah. Have a good evening.